Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we're picking up with where we left off in the last episode. This is Surgical Wings Part 2. Highly recommend that you go back and listen to Surgical Wings Part 1. Before you continue with this one, sometimes we'll have a part two, one and a part two where you can really take them in any order, but this is definitely a case where you want to go part one and then part two. So you'll know exactly why we're talking about taking a human arm, doing a whole bunch of plastic surgery on it, and turning it into a bird's wing.
Indeed. Okay, so we've discussed in the past about how we have augmented ourselves before. I believe there's someone who had an ear grafted onto his skin, or rather the tissue was grown for it.
Yeah, that was in our performance art episode.
Yeah, and, you know, we've talked about people who've taken out ribs before to have, like, you know, 12-inch waist. We have certainly manipulated and bodily modified ourselves to the extent where it's a little bit shocking. But you get to surgical wings or the idea of it, and is it that shocking?
Yeah. That is the question we're going to talk about in the second half. First of all, I do want to say just a quick thing about plastic surgery again. I know when I was growing up and I would hear the term plastic surgery, almost exclusively in reference to people who had new noses and or new chest augmentations, I kind of had it in my mind that it was plastic. Like it was actual, literally plastic. Like, oh, they have a plastic nose. It's like Humpty Hump or something, you know, where it's just, you know, set the, right up there in their face. Or that obviously breast implants, I was kind of like, well, that's kind of like plastic, I guess. You see them, I would see them in like Newsweek magazine that my grandparents had. And so I'm like, oh, well, that's plastic surgery. It's putting plastic in or on the body and making things new.
You thought there were water balloons in there?
Yeah, I thought they were water balloons. But just for a quick primer, plastic in plastic surgery means plasticity. So essentially what we're talking about is flesh sculpting. And the idea goes back a long time. For instance, skin grafts may have taken place as early as 800 BC, which is crazy to think about that. Just the idea that we were already figuring out ways to sculpt the flesh of the human body even in 800 BC.
I mean, humans just can't help but tinker with themselves, right?
Yeah, and certainly if there's a medical advantage, you know, if you're trying to help somebody, you know, improve their quality of life, or appeal to their vanity, that's what you need to get to learn more about it and to get the research done to achieve the already lofty heights of plastic surgery we have today.
Yeah, and of course, I was about to say, the technology is commensurate with the procedures. Mm-hmm. So what you have in place is what is going to determine what happens with your body or how you decide to manipulate it.
So as we were discussing earlier, Rosen proposed that, yeah, he thinks you could give people wings. Now, what would this consist of? How would this possibly work? Because when we're talking about plastic surgery, we're talking about sculpting the body. So it's most interpretations, we're not talking about making some wings and cooking them up in a lab and then just stitching them on the body. Mm-hmm. We have to essentially look to nature and see how nature flies, right?
Well, we have to look at nature, but we also have to look at the mind, because this is an important part of the process, right? We've talked about how the mind also has its own type of plasticity, mm-hmm. and can certainly conform to whatever's going on with the body. And you've used the wonderful analogy of the horse and rider before, that it's not, you know, the two things aren't necessarily separate when you're talking about the mind and body.
Yeah, it's not the mind is the rider and the body is the horse, but it's both are one. They were essentially a centaur instead.
Yeah, so, you know, this brain plasticity gives us the ability to make physical changes that are then incorporated by the brain. This is from the Dr. Dedelius article. Rosen explains that when we lose a limb, the brain absorbs its map or rewires it to some other center. Similarly, when we gain a limb, the brain almost immediately senses it and goes about hooking it up via neural representation. He said, if I were to attach a sonographically powered arm to your body, your brain would map it. If I were to attach a third thumb, your brain would map this as well. Our bodies change our brains, and our brains are infinitely moldable. If I were to give you wings, you would develop literally a winged brain. If I were to give you an echolocation device, you would develop, in part, a bat brain.
Hmm.
I mean, there's some truth to this, right?
Yeah, totally. And it's important to think in terms of brain mapping and neural adaptation to these features, because you can talk all day about sewing bits onto your body, but if you can't, if they are not actually a part of you, if they're not part of that centaur that is the mind-body connection, then it's really not a part of you or your body.
So, in a sense, whatever you dream up, your brain can hang with.
Yeah.
But it comes down to a matter of where really the rubber meets the road and the actual surgical bits that are put onto it. And in order to really look at that, you have to look at a professor in plastic and reconstructive surgeon, Samuel Poor, who took on the idea of surgical wings.
Yeah, from the Division of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery at the University of Wisconsin. And he actually published an article about this idea, about the actual possible details of transforming normal humans into winged humans. And he did this after Rosen had made lots of waves with his discussion. So it was a response to Rosen's mm-hmm. work, where he says, okay, well, let's, assuming that this is something we want to do and actually there's someone out there who wants it, what would this consist of? How would we go about it? As a thought experiment, and as a plastic surgeon, what can I do? What could I do to the human body to give that body wings?
And I love this because he really did respond to it, not just in the philosophical sense, but like really what are the nuts and bolts to make this happen if you're going to take this thought experiment one step further. Because Rosen's ideas are amazing and it's great to sort of get caught up in them. But
a lot of times he's kind of spitballing though. Maybe not in his own mind.
Yeah.
But in terms of just how he's commenting to other people, he's not necessarily laying out a five-step plan to make it happen, but not outside of his own mind anyway.
Right. Well, he knows all that, you know, he's pretty well informed about all the different fields that it would take to make this happen. But you're right. He's not going to sit there and say, it's here's step one.
Yeah. Though I pretty much have no doubt that he has it in his mind.
Absolutely. He sat down to say, like, how would you actually do this? But that's why I think it's so interesting that Samuel Poor took this on, because it does give you a sense of what the limitations are and what the possibilities are as well.
Yeah. So in this article, he asked, okay, well, all right, if we're going to have wings, what are the aspects of a bird wing that we would want. And in this article, he does deal exclusively with bird wings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I didn't think that much about bat wings. We'll talk about that a little more. But he's talking about bird wings. So evidently, he, as far as art goes, he is into the idea of an angelic figure with the big, lofty, feathery wings, which is beautiful. I'm totally into that.
He's like
well.
Archangel from X-Men.
Yeah, like that character from X-Men or any painting you've seen of an angel.
Mm-hmm.
But then of course the other side is we have plenty of images of fallen angels, and their kin, creatures with bat-like wings, which some might find hideous, some might find kind of, appealing if, the pictures I had on my wall in high school had anything, to do with that. But certainly, he decides to focus just on wings with feathers.
Sure, and why not? Because, I mean, this is really the example from nature that we draw from the most.
Yeah. So, what does a bird wing have? First of all, it has those feathers for lift and insulation. It has a highly derived shoulder and a distinct thorax. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, what else do we have to take into account here? Then we have to look at the human body. What do we have? Well, we have these arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at a bird. What is it? Does a bird have arms? No, a bird has wings. So obviously we're getting to the point here where we have to realize if you're going to use plastic surgery to make what we have into something similar to what birds have, it's not going to be a matter of strapping wings on the back and turning us into six-limbed creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to remain four-limbed creatures, but we're going to have to transform our arms into wings, which is something you don't see as often in our fantastic visions of winged humans.
Right.
We tend to imagine that we still get to keep our arms and that we just have wings springing out of our backs. But the plastic surgeons of the world are here to say, actually, guys, if you really want those wings, you're going to have to part with the arms.
Yeah, and they're not going to be big, fluffy, white feathers. It's probably going to be more like a turkey vulture.
Yes.
Well, I say that, but Professor Samuel Poor does say that in order for us to really get the right structure, we can't necessarily look at modern birds as the example. We would be better off to look at something called the Archaeopteryx, and this is a bird that existed 150 million years ago.
Yeah, because the Archaeopteryx has a very primitive wing structure. It's
mm-hmm.
a very early model, okay? Versus birds, modern birds, which have a very highly evolved, very advanced model of the wing. So if you're going to, using the plastic surgery techniques that we have today, if you were going to transform our arms into wings,
mm-hmm.
you really want to go after something a lot simpler, because that's going to be something that we can actually achieve, potentially, arguably, as opposed to a really advanced structure. It's kind of like if you're adding on to your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to take into account the existing architecture, the existing structure. What is going to work structurally as a part of the new house? What is going to work stylistically as part of the new house? And, it's just not always in the cards to take, say, a medieval castle and then build a highly modern structure on top of it. I mean, it's just, you have to take into account the original form. So our arms are great arms, but they're really crappy wings, like the crappiest wing possible, because they don't do anything, you know? So to actually change them into wings, we're
mm-hmm.
essentially having to backtrack on evolution and go think back to how wings really begin to evolve and take form in organisms.
Which makes sense, right? Because you do, as you say, have to go back to the more primitive version if you're trying to make this, you know, from soup to nuts on
yeah.
a human being. It's a little bit ironic, though, that you'd have to go back 150 million years in order to get some sort of futuristic structure for human wings.
Yeah, because the Archaeopteryx, it was feathered, it was flying, but it had a far less complex wrist and shoulder,
mm-hmm.
which is key because this is what really places it within surgical reach for us. Okay, so in this article, Poor lays out some possible steps to transform the arm into a wing.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about forming a distal row of carpal bones and metacarpals in our existing arm into a carpometacarpus, which is essentially a buffalo wing.
Delicious.
Yeah. and a single fused bone between the wrist and knuckle. So if you look at a picture of a human arm
mm-hmm.
and you see a picture of the wing of a bird or in this case a flying dinosaur, then you see that all right, we have the humerus, the upper bone in the arm,
mm-hmm.
both have that. But then when you're looking at the lower portion of the arm, the lower bones, that's where you're talking about needing to fuse things together. Because do you ever see a bird using like a smartphone or typing on a keyboard? No, they don't need the digits.
Right, and the wrists and knuckles all being one piece makes sense too, right?
Right.
Because they're not sort of waving their hands back and forth. You'd also have to fuse the small finger, the ring finger, and the index finger, although your thumb would remain free.
Yes.
So that's good news.
Yeah, so some video games are still possible. The hand and elbow would have to be fixed to prevent too broad a range of movement, but there's not any need for bony fixation in the elbow. You need movement. You make use of existing muscle and skin there. You redirect the bicep and tendon of insertion. You use a tissue expansion techniques to cover all of this because you need skin over.
Skin, yeah, right. And then for non-functional cosmetic wings, this is a really good stopping point, right?
Yes.
Because this is what you need in order just to sport them around town, right?
Yeah, and we're not even talking about the possibility of sticking feathers in these things. That would be a whole separate thing to worry about, because what are you going to try and grow feathers? Are you going to try to manipulate the body to produce feathers? That's a whole kettle of fish in and of itself. But just to transform your fleshy arms into fleshy bat wings mm-hmm. that you could parade around town in, yeah, this is where you would stop.
And we know we can grow tissue, right? So in order to actually grow the skin, that's not a problem, right?
Right.
You know, of course, we're talking about pretty advanced technologies here, so I don't really see, you know, 2020 just going into your local clinic and getting your wings all done up. But again, in this idea of 20 to 50 years out, let's say you can get these wings constructed for you and you really want to take flight.
Well, you're going to need to flap them. You're going to need to flap those wings in order to even try to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do that, you're going to need high velocity rotation in the shoulder. So you're going to need some pretty extensive shoulder reconstruction to make that possible.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, you are going to need feathers.
Yeah.
Now, this is particularly problematic because feathers are so specific to the species, the subspecies. It's something that has evolved for, you know, billions of years, and it's not an easy thing to just say, oh, here, let's stick some turkey feathers in and you'll be fine.
Yeah, feathers are a very complex and really amazing adaptation of flying organisms. Now, some critics of Poor's article, and I don't want to say critics, let's just say people having a lively discussion with him about this, they point out, well, bats don't have feathers, so why should we feel limited on this whole feather argument? Why would that be a sticking point?
Yeah, we can talk more about bats, but for sure, this is a good model to go after. I think
yeah.
It's not just birds, because I really actually feel like bats have more potential in this arena.
Yeah.
And it would be so cool to wrap yourself up in bat wings and hang upside down.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more about surgical wings. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
All right, and we're back.
So I'm kind of already imagining like super rich individuals in the future surrounding themselves with beautiful men and women that they have had surgically adapted into winged creatures. So they're just kind of like, they're not flying, but they're just walking around the dinner party with they couldn't really hold a tray of drinks. I don't know what they're doing. I guess they're just walking around looking pretty and bird-like.
Well, see, and why not keep your own arms and then just do a separate wing structure too?
Yeah, well, that would be higher hanging fruit for sure.
All right, well, let's get back to the flight issue, because it's not just the feathers and the ability to actually figure out in your dermis how to grow the feathers that you need or to genetically game your body into doing it. It's also the wing loading ratio. We would need really, really large wings to support, say, a 170-pound body.
Yeah, and look at the size of flying animals and the size of their wings. Look at the albatross. The albatross is a pretty large mm-hmm. creature and kind of a clumsy bird as well. You know, flight is not the most graceful thing for this creature. So its wings have to be pretty big. And so, when you're looking at the wing ratio in an organism, and you're looking at the possibility of creating wings on a human mm-hmm. from that human's existing flesh, sculpting their existing body into this. Because again, you have a lump of clay and you're going to sculpt that lump of clay into a vase. That vase better have equivalent mass to that lump of clay. That's mm-hmm. just the basic limits of what you're working with. So if you're going to try and build wings big enough for a human to fly, there's not enough material to go around. I don't care how much butt flesh and extra bones you have, you're not going to build proper flyable wings.
Now, Poore did say that for a 170-pound body, you would need about 20 feet of wingspan, which, then becomes sort of impractical, especially if you're taking mass transit.
Yeah.
And can you imagine trying to get on Marta with those?
I mean, I guess you could get, donor flesh. That would be about the only way you could really start looking at that. But then you're having to, scrap. You could get, flesh from a corpse, I guess. And use that in the process. I mean, it's not impossible, but
there
it's certainly something to think about. You can't completely just reshape the existing form into the flying form, there are a lot of other considerations to make.
The blog Human Enhancement and Biopolitics takes on some of these issues. And in that blog, they're talking about the larger problem, which is muscle, because birds, bats, and pterosaurs have really large pec muscles.
Yeah.
And they're so large that they actually take up about 30 to 35% of their body mass. So that would mean that humans would then have to grow these bionic pec muscles that somehow were, you know, maybe nanomaterials were used, somehow lighter than actual muscles in order to really power yourself. So again, that's an issue of actually trying to take flight because we're pretty underdeveloped in our chest areas.
Right.
Because obviously we don't fly and we don't need those muscles.
Yeah. I mean, you get into a situation where the classic idea of the art idea of you know, angels with wings on their backs, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more complicated than that. You can't just add something of another species to this animal and expect it to be a seamless transition. There are a lot of complex questions that come with that. Well, if you're going to have those wings, again, you're going to need the pecs to power them. Where are you going to put those? Because if you're doing the model where the wings are on the back, then where are the muscles supporting
right,
the wings?
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like in that article that we discussed in the Centaur episode, where you had a German surgeon who was looking at the Centaur as a mythological creature and saying, mm-hmm. how would that actually work? And when you get down into the theoretical biology of that, there are all these different complications you wouldn't even possibly think of.
Of course, the thing I remember was, where do you put the penis?
Right.
The front or the back?
The back.
In some ways it's the same thing with wings, although obviously there's no penis, but you have some of the same engineering problems. Of course, Poor did say that in microgravity, zero gravity, it could be helpful to have wings.
Which brings us back to the werewolf principle and the idea that can we adapt the human body to make it better suited to life on, say, a long space flight to somewhere, to life in orbit, to life on another world. If one ended up making the argument that, yes, small wings would be highly effective in navigating this environment, then maybe that's something we have to consider.
Well, and again, go back to bats, right?
Yeah.
Because as we've discussed before in our podcasts or episodes about bats, they are governed, their wing structure, by a rogue finger gene. So if you look at the structure of a bat wing, mm-hmm. it's really it's just a modified mammalian arm, and it's got you should call them fingers. I don't actually call them fingers. But if you think about their wings as sort of these fingers, like on the spokes of an umbrella, that's how they get the structure.
Yeah.
So why not tinker with our own genetics to game our, genes in the arm bud? That begin to produce the sort of hand that we have and have it spread out. And you can take flight much easier because, as we know with bats, they get their lift mm-hmm. by basically free falling
yes.
from an upside down position and then catching the wind with their wings.
Yeah, not every flying creature obviously is a hummingbird capable of just amazing,
right.
quick, spirited flight. You know, they can go from zero to 100, can take off vertically without any problems. I mean, some of these larger animals, they have to fall off of something to achieve flight.
Yeah, plus it would be kind of cool to take flight that way, I think.
Yeah.
Just free fall, upside down. Of course, now, Poor in his paper did say, look, this is just sort of he didn't say, hey, look, this is just an idea. But he did conclude by saying, despite advances in surgical techniques that could theoretically lead to the ability to construct wings from arms, it is evident that humans should remain human, staying on the ground, pondering and studying the intricacies of flight while letting birds be birds and angels be angels.
He had me till the end and let angels be angels. Then he was just really gross. No, obviously Rosen would strongly disagree with this man's. He would probably see Poor as someone with a limited vision for humanity, whereas Poor is certainly staying more on the cautious realism side of things.
Well, Poor also doesn't really address genetic tinkering as well. He's just sort of saying, what do we do right now with the materials that we have? So some of his discussion is limited by that.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential and then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
But there is this idea that is in the article, Dr. Dedalius, and it is an idea put forth by Mary Douglas. She wrote in her anthropological study, Purity in Danger, that human beings have a natural aversion to crossing categories, and that when we do, we transgress, or when we do transgress it, we see it as deeply dirty.
Yeah.
So that there's idea, this idea of like, well, this is not human, it's separate from us, there's a danger in it.
Yeah, which I think it comes back to the wing thing, or even the centaur thing. It's one thing to have, like, oh, the top is a topless lady and the bottom is a fish. Like, that is maybe okay, at least to a certain extent, because there's this firm line. There's a distinction between the part that is animal and the part that is human. And when you get into, you know, we've talked before about monsters. The idea of any kind of a monster is that it embodies an idea, mm-hmm. especially any kind of monster that is half human, half beast. It's ultimately about the competing higher and lower natures of our being, the part of us that thinks that we're above being an animal and the part of us that is inevitably an animal. But we like seeing that division, even in our monstrous imagined creations. But when there is crossover, more crossover than we anticipated, that's where you get in that polluted area. When you get into models of a centaur that has a penis in the front and or in the back, when you get into examples of, oh, this person has wings, but it also means they have to have grotesque pectoral muscles to power it, then the line becomes smudged and we begin to go a little.
I was thinking about this in the context of biogerontology and our bearded friend Aubrey de Grey and his quest to tinker with people at a cellular level in order to have them live upwards to 500 years, 1,000 years old. And I was thinking, well, how does all of this sort of jibe with post-humanism? Because surely that will be the thing to do when you reach 200 years old. Like, you just get bored and you say, why don't I go ahead and get those surgical wings I've always wanted? You know, what does that world look like? You know, do we have this possibility of very elderly people zooming around with their new wings with sort of angel faces to match?
Yeah. When you just ultimately, you're talking about completely just casting aside any expectations about what a human is or should be on a physical level, and then to draw from Rosen's idea of plastic surgery, it also means that there are no constraints on the soul, on who you are.
This is one of those things that I really wish I could flash forward. This is one of those things that I really wish that I could flash forward with 200 years from now and see if this is an antiquated conversation or if humans sort of, towed the line and continue to be as human as we are now.
Yeah. I don't know. And then it comes down to the question, when you're talking about the long-term survival of the human race, is it just something we're going to have to get over in order to achieve that? If we're going to eventually be a creature that lives elsewhere in the universe, are we going to have to get past our arguably limited idea of what we are?
Well, I think with wings, though, it becomes an easy sell.
All right, so there you go. Surgical wings and the people who make them, dream about them. Fascinating topic that I've been meaning to get to for a while. So let's call the robot over here and just do a little bit of listener mail real quick. All right, this one comes to us from Peter. Peter's a regular listener and also interacts with us on the Facebook account. He also is involved in a number of cool projects. He has the King Deluxe record label out of Canada, and associated with that, the 2999 project, which is really cool. It's about finding musicians and finding artists and having them both create an imaginative take on what the year 2999 might consist of.
Yeah, Peter's very much a part of the Stuff to Blow Your Mind think tank.
Yeah. So Peter writes in and says, and he's responding to our multitasking edition, and he says, I was definitely doing other things while listening to your podcast. As usual, I pause one or the other when there's something I need to think about in details, but I agree for the most part that it's best if one can use full concentration. However, this has me thinking about harmony. I mean, being really focused on one task is actually a multitude of highly organized brain functions that harmonize to a beautiful degree. What I propose is that while doing separate tasks is counterproductive, sometimes they lift each other up, as with listening to Autechre while writing. Which is an example I've used before, and I imagine Peter does the same exact combination. They now become the same task, as long as they're not like both visual or something, as you guys mentioned. But I believe the reason I have become good at research is because I can multitask certain types of differing activities, and use one to inspire new lines of thought in the other. And I try to become better at refocusing more attention as required. That said, these were good episodes to consider ways in which I'm not properly closing loops, wasting energy, and so on. One other thing that I was wondering about, though, is if it's really that much easier to focus in the evenings. I can definitely see that in my own life. I do sometimes have less distractions in those hours. However, decision fatigue makes it so my attention to my single task is limited. In the mornings, I may have more to do, but if organized well, then I can do it at breakneck speed in comparison.
All right. Some interesting thoughts on complementary multitasking, I guess you could call it.
Yeah. Because I think that's the ultimate take-home from those episodes on multitasking is that it's not that we shouldn't do it or shouldn't try and shouldn't juggle tasks because we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we're aware of how we're doing it, the limits of doing it, then we can really plan our days and tackle our responsibilities in a more thoughtful manner.
Yeah, how to multitask the right way, I suppose.
Yeah. All right, well, we would love to hear from everyone. If you have anything to add about multitasking, that would be great. But more importantly, and centric to this episode, let us know if you have thoughts on surgical wings. What do you think about some of the mechanics of actually changing the human form to have wings? And more importantly, what do you think about the idea? Should we be limited to the sort of store-bought vision of humanity, or should we be willing to tinker? Should we have this do-it-yourself mentality? Should we ultimately adapt the human form to survive beyond the planet and beyond the age of the Homo sapien? We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. And you can find us on Tumblr. We're Stuff to Blow Your Mind on Tumblr and Facebook, and we are Blow the Mind on Twitter.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.